You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everybody, to tonight's live broadcast of TPC. James Edwards here this Saturday evening, September the 2nd. And as always, I have done this so many times, and still always, it's a privilege and a pleasure to introduce to you Jared Taylor, the editor of American Renaissance and author of White Identity, Racial Consciousness in the 21st Century. He's the author of that book and, of course, so many more that you need to check out. Jared, welcome back to the show, my old friend.
Well, thank you very much. It's always a great pleasure and an honor.
Well, as I always tell you when you say that, the honor and pleasure is always right here on our part. And first, I should say congratulations to you. Congratulations are in order for the most successful, highly attended American Renaissance in the history of your organization. And that took place just a few weeks ago. Congratulations. Tell us about it.
Well, thank you very much. Yes, it was a bang-up success. We actually, for the first time, bumped up against the legal fire code limits of the auditorium. It could seat only 300, and we ended up turning away probably about 150 people. So we could have had 50% more attendance at 450. That would have been quite a record. But we are a little bit limited in the places we can patronize because, as you know, we can't deal with the private sector because they come under such heavy pressure from Antifa types to cancel on us. But no, it was a great program. We had a good lineup of speakers, really first rate, and more excitement, more sense of electricity in the air than any American Renaissance conference so far.
Well, it couldn't happen to a better or more deserving person, and so I congratulate you again on that, and I'm very happy for you. You're welcome. The purpose of your appearance tonight is not to talk about that, although I did want to make that the opening remarks. Charlottesville. So we've had now 3 weeks, Jared, to survey the post-Charlottesville landscape. It has not yet quite been a month. The dust is beginning to settle, but it has by no means settled entirely. What are your findings?
Well, you know, there is a pattern here that the media, the mainstream media, refuse to recognize, and that is that whenever white people stand up and speak in their own interests, they attract people who hate us, who want to harass us, and if possible, shut us down. It doesn't happen the other way around. You can get any group to stand up and speak in their interests, even if they're absolutely against ours. Immigrant rights groups, black, Hispanic, Asian, anybody. We will not try to harass them or stop them. But when we stand up for us, you always get these huge crowds of people who want to do us down. And then if there's some sort of confrontation, who gets the blame? It's us, despite the fact that at Charlottesville, if the counter-demonstrators had not showed up with their helmets and their batons, their sticks and their shields, there would have been no problem. But the fact that they came up and we defended ourselves, that means it was our fault. And I've seen I don't know how many newspaper headlines about white supremacist hatred spirals into violence or that kind of thing. This is just nuts. It's nuts. There would have been no problem of any kind if those folks had not shown up looking to do battle. However, there's one thing I would point out, and that is, since Charlottesville, there have been a number of other rallies. The one in Boston, for example, the free speech rally, and the one just this last Friday in Berkeley. It was called by a prayer group that is opposed to Marxism. And they, too, got the same treatment and were attacked by these black-masked Antifa types. And I was gratified finally to see some mainstream reporting that explained what exactly happened, that people who were waving the American flag were attacked by these people, that the police were overwhelmed, the police were attacked, And finally, the word is getting out as to just what loathsome creatures these Antifa are. And I'd say it's about time.
Jared, I agree with everything you said, obviously. I will give you a full disclosure of our experience with Unite the Right. If you go back in our archives, 4 weeks prior to the event, I went on the record saying I am a little bit concerned about this, in so much as it seems as though half of the scheduled speakers are using assumed names we don't know a lot about, or at least I didn't know a lot about these people, and I'm not quite sure. So I put it to the audience. I said, audience, do you want us to send a representative to this event to cover it as your eyes and ears? Overwhelmingly, Jared, the response was yes. So we sent Eddie the Bombardier Miller, who is one of our co-hosts here. He's here listening to you right now. He is a former combat medic, did two tours in Vietnam in service of this country, or at least in service of the industrial bankers, as he says, and was a combat medic, in fact. And so he went to represent this audience, and as it got a little bit closer, because the audience wanted us to have a representative on the ground, we did, in fact, bring on Jason Kessler, who did a great interview, from American Renaissance. We had him on the night he was at AMRIN. And we went there, we observed, we had a great live report from the scene. But I noticed that you, too, were conspicuously silent about the promotion of the event on your social media and other platforms. Was there a reason for that?
That's not necessarily true. I had a podcast with Paul Kersey the week before the event, and my view was that you might not agree with everything that was said by the speakers, because, like you, I didn't know who these people were. And some of them might have been a little rough around the edges. But even if you did not agree with everything you heard, this was a worthy rally because it was in defense of Robert E. Lee. Anybody who's defending Robert E. Lee automatically, in my book, gets a huge benefit of the doubt. At the same time, I was concerned that there was going to be some kind of real conflict, and I suspected that the rally was going to be shut down because of a confrontation with Antifa. And Paul Kersey, who was my guest on that program, he said the same thing. He says there is a real chance this could spin out of control and could end up being a disaster. Now, I was not quite as pessimistic about it as Kersey was, but I certainly saw the chance for this thing to go bad. Now, I would say that the simple fact of the people who were standing up for whites ending up doing battle with people who hate white people, that was inevitable, and I don't think that in itself would have turned the thing into some kind of unfortunate disaster. It was this fellow ramming the car, for whatever reasons, into another car and ending up killing somebody. That really was something that could not have been controlled, but once that happened, then it became an event that was very, very, very difficult to salvage.
Oh, that's a great answer, and I stand corrected. I was not privy to the interview that you had with Paul Kersey, and so you did, in fact, go on the record and speak about this. But your concerns were the same as mine, I guess you could say. And when we come back, we will take a break. We will and when we come back, we'll talk a little more about what it looks like going forward. What happened in Charlottesville has certainly happened. There's nothing we can do about that. And we will talk about what the landscape looks like for pro-white activism and advocacy in the post-Charlottesville era with the one and only, the incomparable one, Jared Taylor. Stay tuned.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family.
Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
Searching, searching, every night and day, if we gotta keep on the run, follow the sun.
To get on the show and speak with James and the gang, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And now, back to tonight's show.
Jared Taylor, the one and only, Amren.com. Be sure to check him out and support his work. I'm not sure if there's anybody who does it better. He is just about an immaculate spokesman for our cause, and I've known him well for a long, long time, and I'm happy to be calling him a friend. Jared, I think with perhaps tonight's appearance, you have edged out Reverend Ted Pike as the most interviewed guest in the history of our program. You know, we used to have Ted on before he retired. We'd have him on. We'd go out to eat for an hour. We'd come back. He'd still be talking. But I think you have assumed the number one position, my friend.
Goodness, this is a great honor. I'm so happy.
We can always go out to eat.
Yeah, Jared, something you can put on that mantle, that impressive mantle you have there in Virginia. Well, anyway, back to the serious stuff tonight. Charlottesville. So we know what happened there. We don't need to dwell on that anymore, although Eddie does want to hop on, even though he was scheduled to come on after your appearance. We'll give him a brief moment with you here in just a second. But post-Charlottesville, whatever happened, happened. And I agree that the organizers could not have foreseen the stand-down order. They could not have foreseen the carnage. I mean, maybe you could have anticipated it and prepared for a worst-case scenario, but I don't think anybody would have anticipated what exactly happened there. But what happened, happened. And so the immediate effects of this, Jared, would be apparently the accelerated eradication of Confederate monuments. Perhaps a damper on future pro-white demonstrations and rallies, things of that sort. Would you agree with that? And where do you think the state of pro-white activism and public advocacy is post-Charlottesville?
There's no doubt that the result of this rally to protect a Confederate statue has led to the dismantling of many, many statues, and not just Confederate statues. Justice Roger Taney, who wrote the Dred Scott decision, he wasn't even a Confederate, but he came down in Baltimore maybe a week or so ago as direct fallout from the Charlottesville business. So in that respect, the whole thing backfired in the worst possible way. As for whether or not it'll be possible to have pro-white activism of a public kind like this, I hate to put it this way, But if I were to organize something like that, I think I would say no shields, no helmets, no arms, even defensive of any kind. And you, in effect, if you want to come to this, you have to be prepared perhaps to shed some blood. But if that happens, if the other side comes up looking for blood and the police are not able to protect us, that may be the only way that we can present our cause in a way that will get any kind of sympathy. We have to be the good guys whenever there is a confrontation. Most people, I think, would look at what happened in Charlottesville, and they see those videos, and they're going to see two groups, both armed defensively and offensively, and they're going to think, this is just like a prison riot of the Crips against the Bloods. Let them all kill each other. Who cares? We have to be, if there's any kind of future confrontation, we have to be the polite ones, the well-dressed ones, the well-behaved ones. And if, as a consequence, it means that we have to shed blood, well, there are people who may have to shed blood. Now, that may be a cynical and almost hoping for too much point of view, but in the future, unless we can present a stark contrast to our opponents, I think the press is always going to spin it to our disadvantage.
Well, they're certainly always going to spin it to our disadvantage no matter what we do, and we know how we're going to be caricatured by the press, and we talked about that a little bit with regards to my lawsuit against the newspaper in the first hour, which is oral arguments are forthcoming next month. That's a whole other story. But so here's the two school of thoughts, Jared, and I understand where you're coming from in this. The two school of thoughts are, number one, the immediate effects of the Unite the Right rally in Charlottesville were to hasten the destruction of even more Confederate monuments and to make it almost impossible, or to at least certainly dampen the enthusiasm for future pro-white rallies. That's one school of thought. The other school of thought is they were going to get to all of the Confederate monuments sooner or later. Better to go ahead and push the envelope and fight back and force whatever is going to come next. I have heard from a lot of people. Now, again, like you, we had nothing to do with this rally. We weren't an organizer of this rally. We weren't scheduled to speak at this rally. We did talk about this rally in advance, and I'm not trying to cut tail and run. Everything we said and did, I stand behind 100%. We sent a representative to this rally as a member of the media with press credentials, as so many establishment outlets did. And we had an incredible show live from Charlottesville the night of the event, because it happened on a Saturday, the same day we're scheduled to broadcast. But I would ask you, Jared, what do you think about those two opposing camps? That, number one, this only hastened the eradication of our monuments and sullied the cause of pro-white activism, versus better to go ahead and push the envelope and come what may, because they're going to get to us sooner or later anyhow. Where do you fall in that in the midst of that gulf?
Well, I think the consequences of this particular rally were bad. I don't think it's inevitable that all those monuments are going to come down. It seems to me that there are now a few voices, and not just those of no less a person than the President of the United States, who are pointing out that if you take down Robert E. Lee, who was against secession, who was against slavery, but he was tainted by the Confederacy, where the heck do you stop? It's not a joke to point out that next is Jefferson, next is Jackson, next is Washington himself. Many people are aware of this possibility. I think that if that demonstration perhaps had been organized differently, I don't know. It's always great to be able to say, in hindsight, you should have done this, you should have done that. I don't wish to put the blame on Jason Kessler. I know that he put out the word, no swastikas, no KKK hoods, but when you've got, 1,000 people, 2,000 people, you cannot control it. It becomes very, very difficult to control it. And then this guy who drove the car, That was something that nobody could anticipate. I think as a consequence, though, overall, despite the fact that there were things that we simply could not control, this ended up being a negative for us. Now, the future of pro-white activism, it seems to me that if you think very carefully about what kind of opposition is likely to come up, if you find a venue in which the police can control things, or hopefully will control things, of course they thought that was going to happen at Charlottesville, it is, of course, not to be ruled out. We have a constitutional right to gather, to speak what was on our mind, and to speak up for our own interests. And we have to be perfectly prepared to be overwhelmed in terms of numbers. Now, which where you go from there, I don't know. But I think this is certainly not the death knell for public pro-white activism, but we're just going to have to think very carefully about our venues and how we go about it.
Well, certainly I agree with that, Jared. And finally, before we run to the end of this segment, what would you assess of what's your assessment of the president's response? First, there were extremists on both sides. Then it seemed as though he was coming down with, of course, the establishment media's preferred language of pro-white activists, a denunciation. And then he turned around and did something I think that was fairly positive. And then since then, of course, even Nancy Pelosi is decrying Antifa violence, but that's a bridge too far for me.
Look, it was, to me, hugely, hugely significant that at least we get somebody, and it turned out to be the President of the United States, saying, look, it's not as though there's only one side that's bad. That was very important. So many people were saying only those wicked white supremacists are bad, and they were so bad, any kind of violence against them is perfectly understandable.
Jared, hang on right there. I know we only had you for 30 minutes tonight, but I've got the last most important question still to come, and then we got to get to the rest of the program. If you could stick with us through the break. One more minute after the break. Stay tuned.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With Liberty News this hour, I'm Dennis Daly. Oral arguments before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals have begun in the appeal of a 78-year-old man named Joseph Robertson. He was found guilty, quote, of digging two ponds in Montana, one on federal land, one on private property, without a permit. Robertson is serving an 18-month sentence for violating the Clean Water Act and for destroying federal property. He said he thought he was digging the ponds on private property. And therein lies the crux of the complicated case. The Supreme Court could weigh in on the issue of whether the Confederate flag should be flown. Mississippi has incorporated the flag into its state flag. In March, the Fifth Circuit Court of Appeals found the state can do that. The case was appealed to the Supreme Court. This week, the court asked Governor Bill Bryant, quote, to respond to a petition asking the judges to reverse that March ruling. The attorney petitioning the high court argued the Confederate symbol on state flags, quote, violated the Constitution's Equal Protection Clause because of its association with slavery. You're listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com.
The county sheriff is the first line of defense in preserving the constitutional rights of all citizens. To help your sheriff keep his oath of office, join the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. Complete, accurate information has always been hard to find. For news the networks refuse to use anytime, anywhere, click to LibertyNewsDaily.com or sign up to get Liberty News delivered directly to your email, LibertyNewsDaily.com.
With Liberty News, I'm Dennis Daly.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Yeah, oh, wanna be by my side.
It's time to jump back into the political cesspool. To be part of the show and have your voice heard around the world, call us at 1-866-986-6397.
We only have Jared scheduled for 30 minutes tonight, so he's already into overtime, and, you know, we're loath to pay the overtime. But we're asking Jared right before the last break his opinion on the president's response to Charlottesville, which, of course, oscillated from one to the other and somewhere in the middle. Eventually, he landed on somewhat of the right spot, and I think we would agree with that. But Jared, my final question to you, and I had intended to work this in before the end of the last segment, and we'll continue this conversation for the remainder of the hour after you've gone back to your business. But I heard a rumor that you may have a new book in the works or soon to be released. Is that true?
That is, in fact, true. It is called If We Do Nothing, and it is a collection of what I think is my best work over the last 25 years. And it is available in print now, and we expect it to be available as a e-book very soon. I tell you, it is lovingly edited by the author himself. And I like to think that I have a pretty good judge of what's my best work, but I had some advice, too. My staff looked over all the things that I've written over the last 25 years, and they made some suggestions that I hadn't occurred to me. And no, I think it's really a pretty doggone good collection.
If you're curious as to what the content of Jared Taylor's next appearance will be on this show, it will certainly be the promotion of his new book and how you can get it. And we will talk about that and its contents much more extensively when he returns to us, which is his appearances are never too far in between. But I did want to at least get the word out about that. Jared, how right now could people perhaps find that?
Well, if you, you know, it's not even advertised on our webpage, but if you were to send a check to American Renaissance for $25, we will send you an advance print copy. We'd be delighted to do that. And if someone likes the book to be inscribed, just supply the name to which it would be subscribed, inscribed, and I would be delighted to do that. But yes, these are very much advanced copies. Your audience is getting the lowdown on this long before, well, at least well before anybody else.
Well, how about that, ladies and gentlemen? You know, and that's not the first time Jared has divulged information about conferences, et cetera, right here on TPC before anyone else. So that's it, folks. Jared, thank you so much. Amrin.com, there you can find the P.O. box for American Renaissance, and you can send that $25 check. And Jared will get a book to you before anybody else. That's an exclusive for TPC listeners. Jared, we love you, brother. We'll talk to you again soon. Thank you so much.
Great. Thank you so much, James. God bless.
Jared Taylor, everybody, Amrin.com. So with that, we have Eddie the Bombardier Miller. He has been really chomping at the bit to get on. To get on this, and Eddie's guest tonight.
I'm giving up my shield and my gun, and I'm giving up all my stuff. I'm going to still start wearing flowers into combat.
Up in the Nashville area, is with us tonight. So I thought it would be an interesting contrast tonight to have two people who weren't in Charlottesville give you our opinions of the post-Charlottesville landscape. That would be myself and Jared. We weren't there. We, of course, knew people who were there. We were well informed about what happened, but we were not there ourselves. So that's our opinion. Now, two people who were there, Eddie and Rich. Since he's our guest, Eddie, we'll go to him first. Rich, your opinion of Jared's response to the post-Charlottesville landscape from someone who was there. Take it away in any way you want.
First off, I think Jared is a pioneer in our cause. I mean, he's probably one of the men that red-pilled me when I read his book, Paid with Good Intentions, back in the early 90s. And I have a lot of admiration for him. I've been to several AmRen conferences and have enjoyed him for the most part. I think he's a little not quite aware, or at least not publicly saying that he's quite aware of what we're up against. And what we were up against at Charlottesville, it was basically a setup to make us look bad, and we kind of walked into a trap. We didn't initiate the violence. We knew what to expect because we've seen Antifa at other events, and so a lot of men came with defensive weaponry only. We had a big, long debate about whether or not to, for those that had concealed carry permits, you know, to go armed as they were legally entitled to. Plus, Virginia's an open carry state, so there's no way they could have actually stopped anybody from doing that. But we chose not to. We didn't even carry knives or anything like that. I myself and some of the men that came with me from Tennessee had helmets on, combat helmets on with face shields, so we wouldn't get splattered with the stuff that the Antifas were throwing. And we carried flagpoles, you know, to show the colors. Because for me, it's personal up there, because my father and my grandfather were both named for General Lee. So for anyone that, you know, was wanting to attack that statue, it was a personal affront to me. And I and my cohorts basically decided amongst ourselves, if, you know, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? So for Jared to suggest that, you know, we're just going to have to take some hits in the future if we're going to have public events, well, I'd like to volunteer Jared to take a hit.
Amen, my brother. Hey, let me, Rich, I'd like to ask you a few questions if you don't mind. In fact, you sure. Already volunteered one. I was going to ask you, you know, we all know what happened out there in Berkeley. We all know that the communists and the criminals and the thugs, and by the way, while I'm at this, it absolutely infuriates me for anyone, I don't care what their educational level is or their diseducational level is, to insinuate that there were two warring parties there, unquote. There was not two warring parties there, unquote. There was one mass of criminal terrorists. There were no counter-protesters there. And I'm going to ask you your opinion. There were a bunch of terrorists, criminals. They're turned loose like pit bulls by the fascist government there on peaceful people that were there just to demonstrate our solidarity with the other right-thinking groups and to support our ancestors. What do you think about that, Rich? Am I off base there, fella? You were there.
Yeah, we didn't go out there looking for a fight. I mean, I'm 62 years old. You know, one of my buddies is 71. You know, we're not in any shape to look for a fight. We knew that we were going to expect trouble just based on the events down in New Orleans, the events up at Pikeville, and seeing the Antifa. I mean, how they've been attacking the pro-Trump rallies, even on Inauguration Day up in Washington, D.C. And James, you probably saw some of that or were aware of it.
Well, Jared, you know, and I were right there. Yeah, I was there with Jared.
But, yeah,
and
so,
Sam Bushman.
You know, we were well aware of the character of these people we were going to deal with. And, I mean, seeing them face-to-face is something else. I mean, there were people shipped in, bussed in from a lot of places. There was a big Black Lives Matter contingent from New York carrying signs. And these are the same people that subsequently attacked us when we were trying to withdraw to our parking lot and just get out of there after the rally was called off by the state police and the governor. And Eddie's right. I mean, we weren't going to look for it. The police had assured us the night before, after our right to rally was affirmed by a federal judge, that we would be given our right to assemble peacefully. We wouldn't be bothered. They'd take care of us. Well, that was just a flat out lie. Now, whether or not you want to say the local police chief was overruled by the state police, I don't know. But the mayor is a Black Lives Matter agitator, the vice mayor. The mayor himself is a liberal person of Jewish persuasion. Charlottesville itself is a college town, infested with leftists, just because the main thing going on in Charlottesville is the college. And so we get there. We basically do.
You know what's going on when that music starts. So we got to take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll go back to Rich and Eddie, two people who were there. Stay tuned.
Let's hang on and come back to the political cesspool right after these messages here on the Liberty News Radio Network.
The outlook wasn't brilliant for the Mudville Nine that day. The score stood 4-2, one inning more to play. Then all 5,000 throats recoiled upon the flat for Casey. Mighty Casey was advancing to the bat. Close by the sturdy batsman, the ball unheeded sped.
"That ain't my style,"
said Casey.
"Right what?"
the umpire said. She signaled to the pitcher. Once more the spheroid flew.
"I think I'll just ignore it."
And the umpire said,
"Right to."
Now, something different than we read about in the poem. Casey thought of Mom and Dad and time she spent at home. She relaxed, she smiled, her confidence, it grew, and above the roar of the crowd, she heard her dad shout,
"Follow through!"
Somewhere, men are laughing and children having fun. And tonight, there's joy in Mudville, for Mighty Casey hit a home run.
Family, isn't it about time? From the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
Many of you have heard me talk about my Vigor score. You say, "Sam, what on earth is all this Vigor stuff about?" Well, Vigor is defined as zest for life, your strength in body and mind, your energy levels. It's kind of all wrapped into a term called Vigor. Would you like to improve your Vigor score? Well, you got to first take the free test. Get a hold of Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or call Kurt Cosby at 801-669-2211. I took the test, got a 13 out of 32. Horrible, huh? But I worked on it with Kurt with some natural help and healing, and before you know it, now I've got an astounding 29 out of 32 on the Vigor score. Can you tell by the way I talk? Oh, yes, my zest for life has never been better. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. That's 801-669-2211. And take your free Vigor test today, and you can learn where you stand. And then you can work on improving it and take the test again. And, oh, compare the results. You will be delighted. Get a hold of Kurt Cosby. Kurt, C-U-R-T, at LibertyRoundtable.com or 801-669-2211 for your free Vigor score test today.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Welcome back. To get on the show, call us on James's Dime at 1-866-986-6397.
Okay, Eddie, we've got special guest Rich from the Nashville area on the show tonight, a great friend of ours. Of course, you're here too. And I want to give you the opportunity to say your piece, and then I want you to toss it back over to Rich. So okay, do what you got to do, because we're not carrying over the conversation of Charlottesville into the third hour. So okay, say your piece, toss it back to our guest, and we'll rock and roll.
Okay, I was going to ask Rich a question. Rich, do you think you, as a League of the South, are you ready to stand down? And since some people said that what we did up there in Charlottesville was a negative, I totally disagree. I think it was the most positive thing around. I think everything we did was great with Sterling. But are you ready to stand down as a member of the League of the South because the news media, the controls of the news media said that it was a negative situation? Are you going to stand down? Are you going to tell Dr. Hill we're not going to go to Lexington, for instance?
Eddie, you know better than that. We're Southerners. We don't back down. I mean, it's like the motto of your program, no retreat, no surrender, and no apologies. We're going to stand forth for the right as we see it. And continue on. We've seen our membership grow over this. I think within our ranks, there's been a lot of positive reinforcement. I'm not aware of anybody that's second guessing all this. We're prepared to go forward. People, normies, and other people that are listening to the controlled media don't really have a clear understanding of the people that we're dealing with. a lot of people were upset by the optics of the event, apparently Jared Taylor being one of them, and I can understand his concerns on some respects, but this was a Unite the Right rally. It was an open call for everybody to come there. People were specifically told, you know, what to do and not do and what kind of flags to show and not show. The ones, the distasteful flags that people are complaining about, I haven't found it. There was one there. I haven't found anybody that knew who this guy was, you know, or who he was affiliated with.
Well, and there was some people, Rich. Well, there were some people that say that these people got off the same bus as Antifa agitators.
Listen, everything at that event was videotaped. You know, it was photographed by somebody. When I see photographic evidence of that, I believe that. I've heard some accounts of that. How much credence in them, I don't believe. But I'll tell you one thing. There's a vicious media bias against us and our cause and white people in general and Southerners in particular, evidenced by the fact of the matter of one DeAndre Harris. Now, I don't know if y'all have seen that video yet, but Brad yes. Griffin of Occidental Descent, and I recommend everybody go to his site to look at this thing, there's a compilation video of scenes that have surfaced on the internet about this this fight at the parking garage. This was after the event had been canceled by the state by order of the state governor and the state police. The Charlottesville police were overruled on this, but we were forced out of that park into the mob that we had to fight our way through to get there in the first place. And watch this video, and you'll see the nature of these people that we were facing against. And they harassed us like a pack of dogs as we tried to march down the street back to our parking area, which was right next to the police station, and then proceeded to attack us. This one, DeAndre Harris, has got a GoFundMe account saying he was set upon by white supremacists and beaten and he wasn't doing anything, and they raised like $164,000 for him. Well, you watch this video, and you can see the whole thing unfold. He and a group of his cohorts attacked our state chairman from North Carolina, a fellow in his 50s, a very mild-mannered man who was carrying a Confederate flag. They attempt to rip the flags from him. DeAndre steps out from that mob and strikes this man in the head with a mag light. Now, in a lot of jurisdictions, that's attempted murder. Whereupon all hell broke loose, and about five or six of our men responded to protect our men. Another man got clubbed in the head by one of DeAndre's cohorts. But you can see all this on tape. I mean, it's on their video. And go to Occidental Descent, and it's the truth about DeAndre Harris, and watch it. And in that video, I figure pretty finally, because I get attacked by three Antifa right in front of the police station. They knocked me down on the ground and started to pummel me on the head. Right in front of the police station, there must have been a dozen local cops standing there, and they finally got off their tails to come out and say, "Well, knock this off." They didn't arrest anybody that was doing the swinging at me or any of this kind of stuff. I mean, it's there; it's all there for anybody to see, and for anybody to watch that and be more upset by the fact that there may have been some unsavory characters there, rather than the fact that we had a lawfully permitted assembly canceled arbitrarily by the state government there, and thus our constitutional rights were deprived. And if they're not upset by that, they're more upset by the optics, then they've got a serious problem.
Rich, you brought up two great, great points.
And we'll post that video to our website next week, but go ahead, Eddie.
I can't believe some so-called intellectuals will, like you say, will get upset at these so-called unsavory characters when our people were taking a literal beating. You know, some of them with concussions, they're being having the hell beat out of them. But some of these folks are so upset because there might have been some Nazi schmatzstickers out there. Well, you know, another point.
And Eddie, for Jerry to say, well, we're just going to have to take a beating. Well, you know. I didn't see
let him take the first beating
down there. Yeah.
Well, you know what? And here's another thing, Rich. Do you know why we took a beating there? We were peaceful. Our people got the hell beat out of them. The news media still portrayed it as we were the evil people. There were two warring parties there, for God's sakes. Okay, let's just say we leave our shields at home next time. When we go in, let's say 50 of us get crucified like Jesus Christ Almighty.
Do you think the news media, Rich, do you think there's one shred of a possibility of the news media coming out and portraying it truthfully, portraying it like we should have some sympathy, you know, that we were actually abused? Hell no, they're not, Rich. You know it. I know it. James knows it. Yeah. The so-called intellectuals know it. We're going to be portrayed as madmen. So I guess we should just all stand down, trade in our guns, trade in our shields, which, by the way, are not weapons. They're defensive devices. And just lay down and take this crap. And just hold up. We can hold up in these auditoriums as we give our speeches from now on. But for God's sakes, don't say anything out of line. Don't upset anyone. And don't have anything to do with unsavory character. By the way, I've been disenfranchised for being an unsavory character myself. And we're going to talk about this in the next hour. I'm going to shut up now and turn the rest over to you, Rich.
Well, I would say this before Rich rounds out
the hour. I don't mean to insult anybody. I'm just have a different opinion.
These are the two school of thoughts. Was Charlottesville a net gain or was it a net loss for our side? And I would say this about punching to the right. As a rule of thumb, certainly you don't want to punch to the right, as they say. You don't want to eat your own. You don't want to cannibalize. You don't want to virtue signal, and this, that, and the other. But more importantly than worrying about punching to the right is winning. And I'm more worried about winning than whether or not I offend people that claim to be on our side. And this is directed at the people who did show up with certain flags that they know is only going to further push away the people that we need to reach in order to have a consensus.
There was only one there. There was only one guy with that kind of flag. But there were plenty of communist flags.
Yeah, there you go. All right.
On the Antifa side.
Great point, great point. You know what? And not one swinging ding-dong has complained about the communist arm, these hammers and sickles.
Which objectively have murdered more people than the other flag by many exponents.
That's right.
But nevertheless, so where do you stand, Rich, on it all? Now, I agree. We have to go out. We have to be public. And this is another thing that should be stated. The political cesspool has had very public rallies that have been very successful on more than one occasion that have drawn more than a few hundred people. And so we have experience in this. And so we believe that we should go out there and be on the streets. I know
negative.
About the news media more than anybody else out there. I know. I'm in a lawsuit with the news media. I know. I've been out here for 13 years, and so have you, Eddie. But so I would ask Rich, because we only have 2 minutes left. Overall, Rich, you were there. Eddie was there. We've seen both sides of the argument. I agree with elements of both sides. I agree with a lot that Jared said. I agree with things that you and Eddie are saying. But I would ask you this, Rich. Was Charlottesville a net gain or a net loss for our side? Take it away and finish us out.
I think in the long run it'll be a net gain. It'll probably be a pivotal moment. That's sort of like what Simon Roche characterized it when he was talking about it. For one thing, it has emboldened the opposition greatly. You can see what happened in Boston. You can see what happened in Berkeley. You can see what happened outside the Trump rally in Phoenix. The Antifa. Even to the point now, Antifa is being denounced by the likes of Nancy Pelosi and Paul Ryan begrudgingly. I mean, after the Democrats started condemning him, then he felt safe, I guess, to come out and say something negative about it. But you got to understand this: you can never win an argument with a liar. We were lied to by the local authorities there in Charlottesville. They promised us safe passage in and out of that park, that we could have our rally uninterrupted. And they lied to us.
That cannot be forgotten, and that should not be.
Into the crowd.
Yep.
One last question.
They deliberately pushed us into the crowd and forbade us from having safe passage. We could have exited out of the north side of the park, which they had completely blocked off, and gotten back to our vehicles and gotten the hell out of there because, you know, once they declared an unlawful assembly, nobody wanted to stick around. But we were lied to by them, and it was in concert with the state government, the local government, the news media, who basically wrote their stories before the event occurred, and on down the line. And they've been hammering this thing and pounding it into us. And like I say, you cannot win an argument with a liar, but the people that are aware are starting to wake up, and especially the younger people. And we are seeing an increase in the membership in the league, and I think it's going to continue.
All right, folks. That's Rich, everybody.
I'm not trying to insult anybody.
Hey, well, we're out of time, so there's nothing more to say about this. Rich, thank you for calling in. Thank you for your perspective. Very valuable.
Thank you.
Very prescient, and we'll be back with the third hour right after this.